How can you communicate your CCI? Here is a list of maybe 5% of the ways, just to give you an idea. There's an unlimited number of ways. The last one always comes up as the scary one, you know, the next big thing. Because you never know what's going to come out next. I mean, seriously, 10 years ago, who heard of Twitter? You know, 25 years ago, my friend Noel Ice called me. Have you heard of this thing called email? Naturally, it was Noel Ice, right? He was the one to come up with that. Where does it reside? Again, almost anywhere. I'll tell you the scary one, though, and it's, again, I saved it for last on the list. It's the prior, no longer used device. There was an article I saw about a year ago. I don't know where I saw it. A security company was given, at their request, 50 or 60 old cell phones that had all had all of their information completely stripped clean. They were ready to be given away to anybody. And on about a third of them, they were able to get names, addresses, and phone numbers off those completely clean phones. Old stuff, like when you delete a file on almost anything, the file is never deleted. All that is deleted is that file's entry in the little index that says where your files are. The file's still there, you just can't see it. I used to have a game with my kids. I use USB drives to back up data, right? So I got external data, so my office burns down. I got one at home in my safe that is always locked, where I can back it up. And those get replaced every now and then. And it was a game. Daddy needs to get rid of his old disk drives. We go out to the driveway. I put the disk drives on the driveway, and I hand each kid a hammer. They thought it was a blast. I am smashing Daddy's stuff that up until today, I was going to get in big trouble if I touched. Now I'm smashing it. Well, my motivation was very clear. I want those old disk drives in pieces, which is the only way to really, really get rid of old data. Items 3 and 4, you got to understand and use reasonable measures, and you have to determine how you're going to implement those measures. I'm going to cover that more in a little bit. Item number 5, you have to label client confidential information. As a threshold observation, I'm puzzled that this guy gets an entire step to himself. But what I like about it is we have express approval that the so-called PNC disclaimer, you know, this email is privileged and confidential. You better not read it or else you're a really naughty guy. That's exactly what mine says, by the way. I mean, it's kind of obvious, but it's nice to know that this is really an okay thing to use. One thing that the opinion does not say, but I think is very important, is just as you should label all of the stuff that's really confidential, do not put it on the stuff that is not confidential. I can't tell you how many times I've seen somebody copy me on their letter to the court filing a pleading, and the email says, this is an attorney-client privileged document. Right, you're filing it in the public record, and it's confidential and privileged. All that does is tell the world, hey, whenever Barney sends an email, he has that PNC disclaimer on it. It doesn't mean anything. It's like the drug warning you get in aspirin. It's 10 pages of how aspirin will kill you. So then when you get your phenobarbital, you go, forget the warning. It's probably safe, right? Use it where it is needed, not out of habit. This means you got to stop and think, but that is kind of what we do for a living, right? You have to train yourself and your non-lawyer assistants in how to use the technology. You must establish policies and procedures. I don't really know a whole lot about this because as a solo practitioner, once I decide that's what's going to happen, it is an established policy and procedure. So that does make it a little easier for us solos. But if you're in a firm, this is something that you need to you need to put into place and make sure that it's make sure that you can document that you're fulfilling this ethical observation. Item 7, when you hire a vendor, You have to conduct due diligence. On the one hand, that's bad, but on the other hand, this is really good, because think about the implications of this, and they do flat out say it. You don't have to be tech savvy as long as you hire somebody else to be tech savvy for you. You don't have to know how to fix your car just to drive a car. Hire a mechanic, right? You don't have to know how to encrypt your emails when appropriate, as long as you've got tech support people in-house or otherwise who can do it for you. Vicarious tech savvy, as I call it, is okay. But the hiring of the vendors must be done prudently. So, for instance, you know, we got people who do tech stuff in our office. We got the guys who come in and shred our documents. Both of those vendors have access to confidential information, and both must be hired in a prudent manner. You have to vet your experts of an outsourcing of any kind. There are three comforting confirmations, as I call them, in this thing. First of all, just at the risk of repeating myself, unencrypted email is okay for low-risk CCI. This is because, by the way, of the Electronic Communications Privacy Act. Everybody knows that mail fraud is a federal crime. It is illegal for you to open an envelope. That therefore gives you a reasonable expectation of privacy if you send CCI in an envelope through the U.S. mails.